Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. This is a phrase that we've heard often. The Pharisees and the Herodians were trying to trap Jesus. The Pharisees, obviously, kind of saying, well, if we pay the tax, Jesus, then we're in trouble with the Romans, right? We're in league with them. The Herodians, who were kind of in league with the Romans, they were the ones who supported Herod, so he was the ruler of the time. And so the Herodians saying, well, if you don't pay the tax, then you're in trouble with the Romans as well. So Pharisees trying to turn them against the people, the Herodians trying to turn Jesus against the Romans. They're trying to undermine Jesus' authority. They don't want him to be doing what he's doing. They don't want him to say the things that he's been saying because they don't like what Jesus is standing for. They don't like his claim to authority. And they want to challenge him. So they kind of invent this little trap. Like, how can we get Jesus to be in trouble here? So, you know, it's because of their hatred, because of their desire to destroy Jesus that they do this. But in doing so, they undermine the very God whom they claim to follow. Just as an aside, we should remember that as Christians, we can't serve the God of love if we are hating other people. By hating other people, we're never serving the Lord. This is something that as Christians, we always have to remember. Whether we are interacting with somebody who's in the church or outside the church, or especially from our own community, we have to remember that we're called to reconcile with one another. Whether we are, you know, whatever our struggle is, there's nothing that should stand between us and forgiveness. As members of the body of Christ, we must be aware of how we treat others. Do we think hateful things? Do we say hateful things? Do we try to destroy the reputation of others? Just as the Pharisees and the Herodians in the gospel did not give honor to God by their treatment of Jesus, neither do we truly unite ourselves to the Lord if we seek the downfall or destruction of our brothers and sisters. That's just an aside to keep in mind. I don't know if you've been paying any attention to the synod on the family that's been going on for the last week or so. Heard some interesting things, perhaps. Some controversial things have obviously been discussed there. Things that may inflame other people, one side or the other, or just a lot of stuff there to talk about. And the media is obviously reporting certain things and maybe not others. There are many in the culture who would like the Catholic Church to change her teachings on different things, especially matters of human sexuality. Often the Church has kind of villainized her stance on these things, but she holds tenaciously to her teaching. I'm not a cardinal, and I'm certainly not the Pope, but I can say that the teachings that the Church has, and has always had, come from Christ. They come from Christ. Not from us. They're not made up by some person, some just old Joe. I know there's Joes here. By some person around. But they come directly from Christ. And so it's not a matter of trying to change them, or like if we can just change them a little bit, or, you know, but we're simply not free to do so. It's not ours to change. We just receive what Christ has given, and as the Church, that's what we are called to do, is go out and proclaim the truth. So if we hear any reports coming from the Synod that seem to say things are going to change, or to change like a lot, radically, we should give pause and think about it, okay? There might be some changes, obviously. That's why they're coming together to discuss these things, because we need to relook at our approach to different matters on the family and in marriage. The approach we take as Catholics toward different people is difficult. In difficult situations, may be modified. That's certainly true. Pastorally, we can always do a better job of reaching out to others. That's something we can always learn more about, learn more how to serve those who are in need, and especially those people who feel outside the church. We're called to reach out to them in different ways. These teachings, though, that the church has, are rooted in our anthropology. That is, in who we are as human beings. So, if we change them, we won't be solving any problems. We'll just be leading ourselves towards misery. It should be obvious from looking at our current present culture and what the fruits of it are that this is the truth. The Holy Spirit is active in the church. He guides her, he leads her, and even though we might fear at times that we're going to destroy the church, we should have faith that the Lord will always speak through the church, will always be active in the church. Despite the blundering of 2,000 years of churchmen and kings and leaders alike, the church still remains, still preserved. So my advice to those who might be concerned or those who are paying attention to the synod is, don't jump to any conclusions, but wait till all is said and done, which will be actually quite a while still. There may be people trying to do certain things, but we should just be patient and let the process take its course. And we should be aware of those who are trying to entrap us, just like the Pharisees and the Herodians did to Jesus. Those who are trying to maybe change things in a way that we can't as a church. They're trying to say that the church can either accept the culture and become like it, or else the church must be content to be an irrelevant sideshow. However, like Jesus, who sidesteps the Pharisees and the Herodians, he overcomes them, the church too will pass through this dilemma. The church both rejects the elements of the culture that are contrary to the gospel, and yet also professes the love that God gives to every single human being, whether they agree or not with the gospel. As a community and as a church, we should pray for the synod. We should pray for the Synod on the Family, for all those involved in its work, and we should pray that we too can work, being the ones who can seek out the lost, seek those who are in trouble, and try to reconcile them with God and with His church. And we ask that the church may find new ways of expressing these truths, the truths of the gospel, in a loving way, in a way that will draw others to Christ. But let us also ask the Lord to help us avoid falling into the traps that were laid for us. And we should remember that just as Christ was victorious, even though he suffered and died, we too might need to suffer. But if we stay close to Christ, we will too be victorious.